Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
Jaguars with a victory, 22-17. That's the big thing to note on the scoreboard today. Was it the most beautiful game in Jaguars history? Certainly not. Maybe the most beautiful closing play in Jaguars history, though. Well, you start thinking about some of the great finishing moments in Jaguars history. You have the 59-yard field goal I mentioned from Scobie. You had the bat down that was caught by Mike Thomas. You have blocked field goal
by big with Clyde Simmons.
Clyde Simmons that led to the Chris Hudson scoop against. But this may be the longest play to end a game, virtually end a game, last minute of the game for the Jaguars that I can recall. Can I break my arm, pat myself on the back?
What's that?
Hey, why stop now, right? Here's a compliment for me. We're standing on the sidelines during training camp. I was talking to other members of the media. And I said, guys, I'm telling you, Cecil Short's going to have a breakout year. Some of them said, yeah, maybe. Some of them scoffed a little bit. I've said it here on the air. I told Cecil I was at a Team Teal event, and Cecil was there. I said, listen, I'll keep my eye on you. I'm expecting big things. Already, first 3 weeks, he's had two touchdowns in the final minute, so things have been good for Cecil Shorts.
Yeah, he's having a really good season, yeah. I would say.
Good start to things for sure, and
he's come up with some big plays on third downs, too.
Does that lead us in? He's certainly a candidate for Marco's money player. Did he get it?
Unfortunately not. No. I got to give it to the scruffy, nappy head guy, MJD. I'm going to do something with that darn beard and that nasty mustache he got going on. But, hey, man, 28 carries, 177 yards, a 59-yard run. That's really what got the team going. He got the ball in the MJD's hands. You see right now he's moving back into being that type of form, in the form that's going to be able to have this team really strong coming towards the latter part of the season. It's a matter of him getting in shape, and he looks like he is in. He's ready to roll right now.
Again, it usually takes a couple of bouncing back, getting the body ready.
You figure
offense.
If it was a preseason, he would have played the first preseason game, right? Second pre, and this is the third preseason season game, where he would have been looking as good as he could. He wouldn't have played the fourth one.
Yep.
You know, so hey, this is that time, and he definitely showed it today.
Tackling today, was it better?
It was better, but I mean, I don't want to discredit the Indianapolis Colts, but they are not, they're nowhere near the superior teams. They're going to see a better team. You know, Ben Jarvis Green next week is going to be a better player. The wide receivers that you have out there, you know, for Cincinnati, they're more elusive. The tight end is better. It's just a better team that they'll see. So they were better, I will say that, but it still has to get better.
Yeah, and you'll take needs to get better with a victory than needs to get better with a loss.
All day long. I'm going to tell you, it's something. I mean, when you're watching the film, you know, and you stunk up the field, but you win, it's a whole lot easier to watch it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll take time out here. Come back, take your calls at 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. After the Jaguars get the victory on the road in Indianapolis, this portion of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. An injury update straight ahead as well, right after this here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Time now for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. Greg Jones, blow to the head. We don't know if it was a concussion, but concussion-like symptoms perhaps. Left the game, came back in. And first play back in, by the way, paves the way for a long run by Maurice Jones-Drew. Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence at all.
That's what he does.
LaRon Robinson, blow to the head, did not come back. Montel Owens, blow to the head, did not come back. Eugene Monroe left, came back in, didn't miss too much time, and continues to have a terrific season. I think you could make the case that in the first three games, that Eugene Monroe has been the best, has had the best three games of any Jaguars player.
That whole, that left side, nothing heard of. As a matter of fact, the runs that have been most successful have at least started to the left, where you got Uche running around there towards Monroe. And the next thing you know, MJD is off to the races.
Yeah, it's a good way to go. All right, injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. All right, let's remind you that this portion of the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Iselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. And what do you say we take some calls, Mark?
Let's go, baby.
You can take some calls here at 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. You can also tweet if you're on Twitter. Tweet it to me, at Cole Pepper. If you have a question or comment, we've got a couple already coming in. So let's start with Keith in Arlington, who leads us off here on the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show. Keith, how are you?
Keith.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, Keith.
This team is driving me insane.
You're not the only one.
But I wanted to cover a couple of points that I've observed. I thought I was watching a Jack Del Rio coach team with all of these running plays, and I know that Maurice Jones-Drew does well against the Colts when it comes to running. But with a little over 4 minutes to go, all they would have had to do was get a first down to ice this game, and they constantly ran the ball up the middle. One of them could have been disastrous with the fumble. And second of all, the pass rush. I mean, one time Branch almost got luck. I think it was in the second quarter, and he scrambled out for 15, 20 yards.
Yeah, on third down,
I mean, we paid Mincy all this money, and I know that everybody says that Mincy is an effort guy, but with the amount of money that he got, $27 million, I think, in the offseason, it's tired of being the effort guy now. It's time to start producing with some sacks. And we need the linebackers back in a big way for this team. And I'm going to take those off the air.
All right, sir. Thanks for the call. Hit a bunch of points there. I didn't mind them running the football late in the ball game, and here's why. The passing game had done officially jack squat, right? It hadn't done anything. They have the lead. They're trying to run the clock. And their best player on offense is the guy you're giving the ball to who's having a big game.
And
so
they have a lot of success running the ball. And it keeps the clock running. I mean, you just take the chance. Running. If it's an incomplete pass, they don't have to expend that timeout now. And that gives them even more leverage when they do get the ball. You know, it makes it a lot easier for them to get down the field.
Again, what would have happened if on that last drive the Colts had a couple of timeouts remaining instead of no timeouts remaining?
It would have been, you know, going for a touchdown as opposed to a field goal. They would have more time. Basically.
They would have more time and probably could have gotten two more snaps off rather than, you know, be in a situation, you know, after that long hookup to T.Y. Hilton to the 26, they took a lot of time running down there and spiking. They could have just called a timeout, give them a lot more options in terms of. So there is a benefit to doing it. I like Mike Mularkey's approach late in the game offensively. When you're leading and your best player's your running back and he's doing well, feed him.
Yeah.
Let him do it. If your quarterback is playing particularly well, if the passing game is going very well, sure, you mix that in. But this has driven me nuts for years, Marco. So many coaches will not allow the clock to be an ally when they have a lead late in the ballgame. Maybe the two guys who I think have been as good at that as anybody over the last 15 years, Bill Cowher, Jeff Fisher. Those guys understand
Belichick
how to do
some
that.
Love, too, now.
But Belichick has not been... I don't think in the same situation in terms of clock management because he turns it over to Brady.
Yeah, he's always got the darn.
Give it to Brady. Let Brady do it, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little different situation. I'm not taking the success that Belichick's had out, but the late game clock management, running the ball, allowing the clock to be their ally, I think Cowher when he was with the Steelers and Jeff Fisher with the Titans did it as well as anybody. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Bill is on the south side. Bill, you're up here on the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a great win, I think. We should have been 2-1, but anyway, I'm glad we won. And I wanted to ask about Maurice. Remember when he asked to get pulled out of the game? Did he hurt himself, or was he just trying to get a breather or what?
He waved himself to come on out. It was after one of the big ones. What it was he was out of the game. They came up to like a third and short. He came in. Got the first down, then he wanted to come out. You know, he's still getting himself into condition. You're talking about a guy that hasn't been around, no offseason training with the team, no OTAs, no preseason.
Right.
So you figure, I think this next game, after one more game, I don't think you'll see MJD coming out. A lot of times, that's why you have two running backs, because these guys just spend a lot of energy running that football, evading people. And the way he runs the ball, that's a lot of energy.
Yeah, I know. He really had his mojo working, you know. I know he doesn't like to be called mojo, but because that's what the morphine addicts used to call it when they shoot up. They'd say they really got their mojo working, but he was good today. I have another question. You know, in the end zone when he acts like he's shooting craps there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, rolling the dice.
Well, rolling out. But, you know, it's unfortunate. I'm sure the Jaguars were out of town, but there was a crap game going on in the hood, and a boy got shot over it and killed this weekend. And he might want to change that up next time because, you know, it might not look too good in light of this tragedy up there now.
Well, listen, I mean,
he doesn't know anything about it. I know.
In fact, I didn't know anything about it. And I was in town. So, if somebody wants to be offended, then that would be something they might be offended by. My thought on, I didn't know if he was rolling the dice to show that he rolled the dice in the offseason for his contract. That was sort of what I was thinking.
I mean, about setting an example for the kids. You know, anyway, hey, good going, Jaguars. I'm glad. We're going to win next week.
All right, thanks for the call, Bill. 800-355-NFL1. I did notice he did that, and then he tossed the ball to the referee. So there was one report from a national outlet that said, well, Maurice is helping give the donation to Wilson Children's Hospital. I'm not sure if that counts if you go over there and do a little celebration and then give the ball to the referee. I don't think that's in the spirit of the thing. So we'll have to get a ruling on that from Mike Malarkey tomorrow. 800-355-NFL1. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you're in the Twitterverse. Let's go to Saqib on the south side. Saqib, you're up here on the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey there, Saqib.
Saqib, listen, I thought about you, by the way.
A great birthday present for me.
Oh, this happy birthday. All right, happy birthday.
My 29th birthday, yeah. And this was... I almost got a heart attack. I was 29 years old.
I was thinking about you, Saqib, when they had all those back and forths, and I was thinking, you know, there are a lot of Jaguars fans who are probably having palpitations, and I bet Saqib's one of them.
I definitely was. I was going crazy. You know, when we scored with Tisha Shorts, which was great for me, but there was way too much time left. And there are these referees, the interception then, for example, the Rasheed Mathis had, just throw me in. That was not a penalty.
No.
That was just a clean interception.
Nickel dimer for sure.
They need to get this stuff together. They are going to cost teams a whole bunch of games.
Yeah, especially before they get to the playoffs.
I'm glad they cost us a game, but we just need to get it together. I'm excited. You know, you guys know I called you guys a million times, and I'm excited. I'm excited about seeing us Fred Taylor next week. He was, you know, by the retirement. And I'm overall, it's going to be great. I'm very happy with the thing right now.
My man.
And I appreciate it, guys.
Well, happy birthday, Saqib, once
birthday.
Again.
There you go. Hey, all you need is a 80-yard touchdown pass to win it for a happy birthday. Perfect. A couple of comments from Twitter here. Thomas asking what happened to Laurent Robinson. Again, blow to the head. Concussion is the concern. We'll see what, you know, they'll take some baseline or do some tests compared to his baseline, see what was happening there. We should have a better idea midweek probably on Laurent Robinson. Kyle asks, only 128 yards for the Jaguars in seven quarters and 14 minutes, 4 seconds of play. How concerned should we be about the passing game? The passing game is not where it needs to be. There's no doubt about it.
I would have to agree. I mean, I'm looking at this thing, and you talk about the receiving. You got the guy that had the most catches Shorts had the most yards with one catch. But other than him,
Elliott had two catches.
Two catches. And you got guys like a Pro Bowler and Mercedes Lewis. No, hasn't been that much of a factor. You had the fifth round pick, Mr. Blackman. Mm-hmm. Where is he? You know, we got to get him involved.
Yeah, I really need to take a look at the film and see what's happening there because what we saw in the preseason, again, I don't expect it to exactly translate, but we've seen wide receivers who weren't very good as rookies and who never got any better. We've seen wide receivers who were just okay as rookies and got better. But we haven't seen a rookie wide receiver be as good as he was in the preseason in Jacksonville, in my memory. And he comes out and really has been kind of a non-factor, so we'll keep an eye on that. Brock says, Cole, the ultra-conservative calls in that 4-minute drill nearly cost us the game. You got to get the first down. I don't disagree with wanting to get the first down. My point is, your best opportunity to get the first down is to give it to Maurice three times. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. give it to him three times, you have to figure that he's gonna get the yardage.
Because he was running at what he was getting about 8 yards a carry. He averaged 6.3 today.
Yeah,
that's, you know, so you figure you give the ball to him twice. It's a highly
give
likely
to him three times. You feel pretty good about it, right?
That's, yeah, exactly.
That's what I was saying. All right, 800-355-NFL1. We'll take timeout. More calls when we come back. Visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked pulled and sliced meats basket for $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. More to come, including the carry of the day. That probably is pretty easy. You might have some competition, depending on how you're going to interpret carrying the ball. We'll have more of that and more of your calls. Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show continues right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. You can tweet at Cole Pepper, and you can also call 800-355-NFL1. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a reminder, once again, next week on Sunday, a week from today, here at Everbank Field, Jaguars and Bengals. And going to be a great moment as Fred Taylor is enshrined, inducted into the Jaguars Ring of Honor, the pride of the Jaguars. So be here for that. And I don't know, Marco, it's a close conversation. Depends on who you ask. Most popular, most beloved Jaguar ever. Baselli certainly has a lot of fans. Freddie's right up there, too. A couple of guys, and they'll be right up on the wall there as in the pride.
That's for sure. I mean, you got to throw Mark in there, too, at some point in time. Mark is, hey. Some heroic efforts by Mark Brunell.
Sure, sure. Well, he's not going to the Pride, though. That's what I'm saying. You've got those two guys on the Pride. He may eventually. I think Brunell may eventually. You played with Fred Taylor.
I did play with Fred.
Your thoughts, and we'll get more into this next week, but you know, what was your impression of Fred when you played with him?
Probably more importantly, I played against Fred.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this guy was a very tough running back to corral and to get down. He was one of those running backs that you had to have a group of guys to get him down. He was fast. It was a deceptive type of speed. You know, Fred looked so smooth when he ran that it didn't look like he was going that fast until he ran by you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And tough guy. I mean, his physicality. He was a lot more physical than what people I think give him credit for too. I mean, this dude was 230 pounds, 220 pounds, man, and not an ounce of body fat on him. And when you hit him, you felt all the muscle that he had on him. I mean, Fred's an outstanding guy too. I mean, a humble guy. The ultimate teammate, you know, always encouraging to all the guys. I mean, he definitely deserves everything that he's getting right now.
And one thing that has not been talked about, I mean, you talk about the great moments, you talk about the records, you talk about Fred as a person. And one of the things, as a result of you know, Fred as a person, I think, one of the things that you have is that you have Fred's legacy. Because the kind of teammate that he was, his legacy really is number 32, because he did so much to teach Maurice about how to be a pro, how to go about things, how to get your body ready, how to prepare for games and opponents and so forth. Mm-hmm. He really did serve as a mentor, and that doesn't always happen in the NFL.
Right, and down at Glades Day School is a little bit of his
That's pretty good legacy, too, with his son, Kelvin, who's the all-time leading rusher in the state
of
Florida.
I'm sure MJD would give a lot of credit to Fred and him. Having a veteran like that when you first come into the league not only gives you an idea of how to play the game, but how to be a professional. And I think that Fred, he went through enough through his career that he had a story to tell and a lot of positive feedback for a young player like Maurice.
All right, which segues beautifully into our carry of the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Who had the carry of the day?
MJD. You know, that 59-yard scamper to the end zone, that actually set the tone and turned the game all the way around. I think that was the pivotal point of the game. Got the defense playing even better. All those things started to happen once he came in and got that big run. Now MJD gets to carry the game.
All right, I got a tweet here from Ryan who says, love Mojo, but all the great teams are throwing. Well, okay, listen, I'm going to make a bold announcement here. The Jaguars aren't a great team, and if you know, you got to win how you can. Okay. And running the football is big. I mean, your best players are running back. Again, the Jaguars are trying to evolve to that. It's a new offense. You have a young quarterback, young receivers trying to find their way, new parts, you know, in the skill positions. They're trying to find their way. This is a process that we knew would not be an overnight thing with this offense. And when you have the benefit of having a guy averaging 6 point, what do you say, 6.3?
6.3 yards.
Yards a carry? And I mean, he's reliable?
After missing all the training camp, he's on his way, I think, right now, possibly leading the league again. If nothing else, at least the average per carry. I mean, I'm going to have to check that out here, too, while we're talking to see where he stands with the rest of the league here in just 3 weeks. And, you know, and this is a guy that missed a lot of time. Yep. I hate to see him once he gets in great shape. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, he's
as you can tell by the way, he's a man on a mission.
He said, by the way, that he's faster this year. Last year he was never 100%, but he says he is this year. We'll
see
about
that.
Might
be even faster if he cut his mustache and his hair and
like
beard
haircut,
or something.
800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Lee on the west side, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Lee, how are you?
Please don't forget about the man who made one of the biggest plays of all time in Jaguar history. Morton Anderson, he's got to be right.
one of the most beloved Jaguars ever. That's true. And by the way, I'll just as a little segue, one of my favorite moments that I was a part of. If you remember the old Florida Sports Awards, they used to do. It was a fundraiser they had here in town. They brought Morton Anderson out to present the Jaguars player or the
wow.
player of the year one year and standing
obviously.
Ovation. Yeah, yeah.
And of course, you remember who really got screwed by that kick. It was the Kansas City Chef.
I do
great
remember
googly
well. Googly. I had just recently moved from Kansas City and was doing reports back to. I was not on the Jaguars broadcast at that point. I was doing reports back to the Chiefs network. Who I knew some guys there. And they were not happy to hear from me. that's for sure.
Listen, I need some therapy here. I hope this is the therapy hotline because I watch this league and I get more confused by what I see every week. I mean, supposedly we're on a par with the Colts and the Vikings, right?
Yeah, I think that's okay.
We played each other round robin, very close, could have gone either way. Vikings go out and put a thumping on the 49ers, who may be the best team in the league. I don't get it.
Who beat the Packers, which means clearly the Jaguars should go to Lambeau and roll, right?
Well,
Well, you think about last season, you know, the Jags, what, 4-12 last year? 5-11. And that Monday night against Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it happens. I mean, it's a long season.
Is that the any given Sunday
parable? That's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, I believe San Francisco, they had a long flight over there. Then you got the time change. It's not just a typical 1 o'clock game, but now you're on Central Time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was even earlier. So it was, you know, a lot of things go into it, but hey, they won.
But on the downside, I don't think there's any parity in the AFC South right now.
No.
I'm looking at the Texans just put a hurting on the Broncos in Denver right now. And that team looks built to dominate this division for a long time to come the way the Colts did under Peyton.
Well, I don't know that they're built for a long haul, to be honest with you, and here's why. First of all, Schaub's got some mileage on the tires. Number two, Andre Johnson is an older player. Now, he's still a terrific player, but he's in his 30s. So I don't know that this is one of those teams that's built for the long haul, but you know their window is open right now for sure, and it certainly seems like it should be open for the next 2 or 3 years. With some of the young talent they have on defense, particularly guys, you know, those pass rushers and J.J. Watt.
Well, you know, you got Yates that did a good job as a quarterback that's sitting there, you know, kind of like a underling like Rodgers did. You know, when he gets in there, it's going to be a different deal. He's the same age as, you know, Gabbard and Lockhart and all those guys. Yeah, so you never know. Houston just make a long run.
We'll see. And by the way, not that he had a great game today, but he had a pretty good game. I think Lux is going to be a thorn in the side of a lot of folks.
You got to get some more help. Specifically, I think their defense is terrible.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Always enjoy the show.
All right, Lee, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Grant is on the north side. Grant, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, Grant.
What's on your mind?
I have my question is, isn't there such a thing as a run-out-the-clock play that you have in your book for running out the clock? We had 201 with a 1st and 10, and it took 5 seconds to run off 3 plays.
Yeah.
You know, we tried to run Buster Mill all 3 plays instead of student by the left, student by the right. The longer you have that ball in your hand, the more time comes off that clock.
All right, I will agree with you. I agree with you on that point, but consider this. First of all, If you run wide, the greater chance is you can get pushed
out of bounds.
Right. Number one. Number two, part of the benefit of running the ball there with 2 minutes to play is that you're forcing Indianapolis to use their timeouts. I mean, in a best case scenario, you force them to use their timeouts and you pick up a first down and you keep the ball and they never get the ball back. And you're certainly not the only one who thinks the Jaguars should have had a little different approach late in the ballgame. I like giving it to Maurice three times and let him go, and because I like my chances of him picking up a first down. You just didn't do it.
Well, yeah, well, exactly. Well, I don't have a problem with handing it to him three times, but three times up the middle that took absolutely no time off the clock. Why not, like I say, tweak the one side or another? That takes more time off the clock. I could not believe that at the end of that series, we had only used 5 seconds off the clock.
Well, they started at 2:01, so they were automatically going to have a 1 second runoff or you know whatever it was, stoppage of the next play, and so that I think was like 1:57 or something like that.
Around, yeah. They gave the ball back at 1:56.
Yeah.
No, they had it in a couple more plays at 1:56. That's when they actually went on second down. That's when he fumbled the ball.
And I can pull up the official stats here and give you that one very quickly. All right, got the ball at 2:01. Jones drew over right tackle for 4 yards, 2-minute warning. With 1:56 to play, Jones drew up the middle. Jones drew fumbles, recovers at the 21 for no gain. Timeout, 1:52 to play. 1:50, they ran the play again up the middle. And it was at 1:46 that they got the ball back. So, again, they used up their timeouts.
Well, they punted. Or did they get the ball back at 1:46?
No, they punted at 1:46, got the ball back at 1:33.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, in best-case scenario, you move the clock, you move the chains, and you don't have to worry about that sort of thing. And Maurice had been doing that. They obviously were keying on Maurice, as anybody would have been. But, mm-hmm. I didn't have as big a problem with it with the play calling. I was a little disappointed in the fact the offensive line didn't create some more holes for Maurice up there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I didn't have as big a problem with the play calling. Grant, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to the west side. William, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Hey, William.
Hey, William.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Hey, first, I just want to say I hope the stadium is filled up next week.
Me
for
too.
Freddie Teller.
Yep.
And I think it will be near that. But what I called for is right at halftime, we get 37 seconds on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
They run it one time, and then they just give up. So I hit the button for NFL Network Red Zone. They put it on the Dallas game, and honestly, it was 37 seconds on the clock. With that 37 seconds, Dallas moved the ball by throwing the ball downfield, and they didn't get any points only because at one of the times they was moving the ball, Romo got psyched, but they was very close to getting at least a field goal. The point I'm making is we got Del Rio too for our coaching staff. And I mean, it's the same type of offense, same type of – and I do want to run the ball more because that's all we got now. But
William, you're misremembering history.
Can't throw it down when he have to, but they don't let him do it during the game.
You're misremembering history. Del Rio certainly would have run plays there. He was go for it on fourth down, be aggressive, all that. That's a whole different thing. But I'm going to ask you this. What did you see in the Jaguars' offense in the first half that would have indicated that it would have been a good idea to let them go out there and try to move the football?
I just think it's the mentality you got. With 37 seconds, you got to at least try to make a field goal.
You're on your own 14.
Running it one time and giving up.
William, they're on their own 14-yard line with an offense that hasn't done anything. Why? It's a bigger risk. It's a bigger risk to throw the football and quarterback can get sacked.
Dallas had
lose
it on
the football.
20. It's not that much different.
Dallas's offense is different than the Jaguars. Again,
that's the whole point I'm making.
Yeah, and so my point is, it was the right approach to do that, to do what the Jaguars did. The offense needs to be better. The passing game needs to be better. But it was the right approach that they took, I think, at the end of the second quarter.
The last point I'm making is, we do supposedly have the receivers, and you all mentioned it earlier. Blackman has disappeared. They don't even try to throw it to the man. It's just like preseason. It was like they was at least going to try this, and then they just gave up on it. And this is what's frustrating to fans. We do want to see more. We want to see them throw the ball down the field because in my mind, they can do it, but the coaches won't let them do it.
What you want to see is fans. And yes, I'm telling you what you want to see. You want to see them throw the ball down the field and complete passes and move the ball.
I love running too.
What you don't want to see, William, give me a second to finish the sentence. It'll be a good one. You'll probably really like this one. What you don't want to see is the offense dropping back and either quarterback getting sacked, turnover happening, incomplete passes, that sort of thing. What Mike Mularkey wants to see is the passing game get to the point where they're moving the ball down the field, where they're throwing it down the field. It's not there yet. This is a first-year offensive coaching staff with a young group of players, particularly the skill position players. It's going to take a little while. And so I think until then, Mularkey has been very judicious in how he's using it, doing his best to not put the passing game in a situation where if it's not going well, that you suddenly expect it to turn around. Now, at the end of the game,
got it when you needed it.
They needed it, and they got it. And so, you know, great. Hey, that happens. It doesn't mean that would have happened if they did it at the end of the second quarter.
But my point is, as a fan, and most fans feel like this, you got to try sometimes. Throughout the game, so they don't try at all. It's just not a part of the offense. And, I mean, I don't want to see it all the time like a Dallas would do it or some other team. But do it sometime. 3 or 4 plays down. They don't do it. It's zero with this offense. And that's what's frustrating to most fans.
All right.
Y'all have a good day.
William, thanks for the call. William is expecting a huge leap all of a sudden, right? That usually doesn't happen. I wonder why Blackman isn't getting the ball, whether they're not throwing it to him when he's open or whether he's not getting open enough. Again, I'll go back this week and look at the coach's film and see what I can see on that.
Well, I think in this game, LaRon Robinson was the guy that was kind of going deep the majority of the time, other than shorts.
And then he's your deep guy, and he goes out early in the ball game.
Yeah, and he was out early.
Yeah, Blackman is not a deep threat kind of guy. He's a
run after the catch guy.
short and intermediate guy, and then make plays that way. Shorts has a chance to be a deep threat guy, and most particularly
80 yards worth.
Yeah, well, obviously, and Robinson is the guy who's best cut out to be your deep threat guy, I think. Mm-hmm. So, this is part of the process. I know.
They're growing up. Like you said, this is a young squad.
Yeah.
This is new. I mean, I think even Mularkey is trying to develop an understanding as to who he can trust in different situations. That's what this whole season is about. That's why I feel so strongly about the latter part of the season once they get a chance to go through several games. As a matter of fact, after the bye week, when the coaches get a chance to now, we got 5 games. Mm-hmm. We can look at all the players that we've had in a lot of different scenarios. Now, who can we trust? Now, if we are sitting here at, 2-3, if possible, then hey, we might
could
have
be
a
3-2 if they
we may have a chance here, So now, who can we trust in these situations? That for can we now throw the ball? It may be a different. He may have a different thought process in week 10 than he did this week, as far as throwing the ball.
Got a tweet here asking how many times is Gene going to be allowed to miss on pass rushers? He's missed every one, it seems. Do you agree with that? Has he missed on everyone?
I think Tyson is a pass rusher. He got him as a defensive tackle. I mean, that's what he does, but he's a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. He hasn't gotten a lot of pressure, but he's a pass rusher more than anything. These guys just haven't been able to get there.
Is Branch a bust as a pass rusher?
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't say so.
He hasn't got a chance yet. It's just been 3 games. Yeah. It's not uncommon for guys to start out this way. You never know. They come in bunches. Mm-hmm. You get midway through the season, these guys just start racking up sacks after each game. And I'm not so much concerned about the sacks. I mean, people throw a lot into sacks. Unless it's on 3rd down and you're stopping the drive, it's just a tackle for a loss because the team's got another chance. If you're not stopping the drive, it's not a big deal. And if you only get 3 sacks in the course of a game, and you look at the ratio, you got, 60 plays, how have you really affected the game? It's about getting pressure on the quarterback all game long, making the quarterback throw errant throws, making the quarterback have to pull the ball down and have to run and taking some big hits, knocking him out of the game.
Have to throw it on a 3rd and 9, make him throw when the route's only 5 yards downfield.
Having to throw it
right?
quick, exactly. Yeah. Those are the things that I look at more than just some sacks. Sacks have been glorified a lot more than actually getting pressure on the quarterback consistently.
All right, we've got a lot more calls and tweets to get to, and we'll do so here in just a bit. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll take time out. More of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show when we come back. Remember to sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea. Now just a dollar at McDonald's. Any day, any size, any time, McDonald's. I'm loving it. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. We're talking a lot about progress and what kind of progress should be expected, what's reasonable, that sort of thing. And I'm thinking of some other teams that have developed over the course of the last several years and who were not contenders before but now who are. Think about the Lions. They've got a fourth-year quarterback and a sixth-year wide receiver as their stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their first year under a new head coach.
0-16.
0-16 under Jim Schwartz, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a team like Houston, right, that was the underachiever for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a veteran quarterback, veteran running back, veteran wide receiver. Last year they went out, plugged, you know, helped the defense, got a defensive coordinator to change the culture on the defensive side of the football, won the division last year.
You think back even back in the 90s with the Dallas Cowboys, how they started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, young Aikman.
Triplets with Aikman and Emmitt.
But they had to grow. You know, first year coach, you know, I think they went like 1-15, you know, so it's a process.
Now,
it's definitely a process.
There are some teams that have done a quick turnaround. San Francisco, I'll use it as an example. They get a new coach in,
mm-hmm.
changes, you know, not a huge amount, some new personnel, but not a huge wholesale change in personnel, but it changes the culture.
Change the culture, yep.
And obviously came on at the end of last year. Alex Smith, who was a veteran, what has he been in, like 6-7 years, whatever it's been. So he gets a new lease on life, so to speak, mm-hmm. in the National Football League. That changes things immediately. You can't. I think it's unrealistic to expect that a new coach with young players is immediately going to have things turned around in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That usually doesn't happen, and I'd have to think about when, you know, particularly early in a year. That usually doesn't happen. And I think back even to the Jaguars' history.
Mm-hmm.
95, Coughlin, new coach, new players, obviously expansion team. There was a point in the middle of 96 where people were calling for Coughlin's head.
Mm-hmm. You said the same with the Panthers.
And then look what happened.
The Panthers built themselves all the way up to getting to a Super Bowl. I mean, it takes some time.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely does, especially with young players. I mean, when you're playing against a veteran team, I'll say, you know, Houston is a veteran team now.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so comparing them to teams like that, teams like the Baltimore Ravens, teams, you know, that are established and they have veterans that have been around for a long time,
mm-hmm.
that's not even fair.
And there are a lot of fans pointing the finger at Gene Smith here the last couple of weeks. Even I got a tweet here from somebody saying the problem is, Gene's the problem. Right? You have to be able to separate the coaching and the personnel acquisition and say that the coaching was clearly an issue in the past here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't believe that that's the case now. It doesn't look like. I think the coaching is...
It's too soon to say right now.
Certainly too soon to say, but we haven't seen any evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's see how this plays out. Again, ask anybody who has spent any kind of time in the National Football League as a player, coach, personnel guy, media, around the game. You know that the expectation is that a new offense is better as the season goes on, as long as everybody stays, you know, mm-hmm. relatively healthy. The new offense is going to get better as the season goes on because people are learning it. They start to get a better feel for it. Great example is the Texans. They've been in that offense now for quite a few years.
Clicking.
Right?
They know how
it's working, and they're beating Denver 21-11 right now in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. You know, the quarterback's been in that. A lot of the offensive line has been in that same system. Andre Johnson, who just made a one-handed
catch.
Just lost it.
He dropped it.
Knocked out of his hands. Almost had a one-handed catch for a touchdown. Arian Foster's been in it. So you've got some guys who have been in that system. Jaguars have been in the system, you know, not 3 years, three games, 3 weeks. So, you know, we'll see how this is. And by the way, Schaub is down, hit hard at the end of that play.
His ear is
and
bleeding.
Yeah, they are out there in
but
a hurry.
But that's what I'm talking about. It wasn't a sack. It was almost a touchdown. But now what did they do? They got the quarterback in a position where the most important part of the team now is down.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to have to bring somebody else in there for a little while.
Oof.
So you never know. He might come in and have to throw an interception or something.
Helmet popped off as well on that play. So Schaub is hurt. We'll keep you updated on that one. All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Steve in Mandarin is up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Steve, how you doing?
Pretty good, Cole. How y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I just basically piggybacking off of one of your previous callers that was talking about the end of the game clock management. I had a question as to whether or not y'all noticed there at the end after they kicked the ball off to us, and I think like we had 2:01 left was left on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
It appeared that the clock operator stopped the clock before the ball even went into the end zone.
Well, the clock operator shouldn't start the clock at all until the ball is brought out. So, if they're kicking it off, let's see here.
I'm talking about like
on the punt.
Right, on the punt. The punt went into the end zone.
They punted
but they
with
stopped
two,
the clock. Yeah. They stopped the clock before the ref blew the whistle. It should have been the 2-minute warning, and therefore we would have been able to preserve the timeout.
It would have started the 2-minute warning, and they would have
exactly,
had to use.
Exactly, and they would have been one timeout less.
Well,
and,
it was 2:10.
They
punted it with 2:10 on the clock. So, does it take 9 or 10 seconds? You know, it's like how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? It's
and then on the kickoff that we had on that long return there toward the end of the game, the same thing happened when the guy returned the kick and ran out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed the same thing. The clock operator actually stopped the clock before
You're not saying that you think that in Indianapolis, of all places, they would try to get some kind of an unfair advantage?
Absolutely.
I can't imagine.
You've noticed that in the past as well, huh?
I can't imagine in Indianapolis that something like that would take place.
Exactly. Yeah. That was what I was wondering, if whether or not you had noticed it or not.
Well, let me just say this. There are all kinds of reasons why a road win in the division is tough to get and good when you do get it, and maybe you just outlined a couple of those.
There it is.
Absolutely. And just one more quick thing, too.
Yeah.
As far as Maurice Jones-Drew goes, I understand that he has a contract, and he's honoring his contract, to give the man a raise. He deserves it.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, it's not going to happen. But, you know, again, it's not up to me. And if it was, it's not going to happen. You know?
But you look at it. Look at the way he's playing right now.
Oh, he's playing great.
You know, if he would have went through training camp and everything, I think he'd be doing even better. Now is when, okay, agent, go knock on the door, tell him we want some more money. They don't want to give it to you, I won't be here next year. I think this, that's a whole nother deal. But
you think, as I do, that he misplayed his hand
on
this thing?
Yeah, I think he rolled the dice and he came up with snake eyes.
800-355-NFL1. Richard is on the north side. Richard, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, guys. That was a promising win there.
Yeah.
Just wanting to calm William down and tell him it's going to be okay.
Somebody needs to. He's pretty fired up, huh?
Yeah, I need to tell William, in order to be a Jaguar fan, you got to drink a little, buddy. You got to drink a little, because it's going to take some time. But, great win by the Jaguars. Real nice throw, once again, to see some shorts. Wish we could see more of that. But, like you said, it's going to take time. The kind of people that we got, you know, if that's the way it's going to take time. Love the show. Hope for the best. But still fire Gene Smith. I'm still on that. But, hey, that's the way it go. Appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. William's got to calm down, but Richard's already pulling the ripcord.
Yeah, he's sliding a little jack to him right now.
All right, Mike is in Stark. Mike, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, guys, definitely. Just a couple of quick announcements. If MJD can do what he's doing when they're keying on him, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Also, you can see the coaching staff's methodology is working. And one more thing. I called last week all exasperated, and I wrote a letter to Mr. Khan, said you might as well hire the Jackpacks for tackling because their guys are better. But I also said, hey, Marco wants to break dance on a special fan entertainment day. And he wrote me back, and he said he's going to pull you out. He's going to get some local break dancers, and you're going to be out in the middle DJing on the ones and twos, Marco. You know, you're bad. I tried to get him to suit you back up, but he said that you're totally retired.
Yeah, man, I'm done. Yeah, man. But I go ahead and spin some records for you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mike, I think. Marco, hey, we're in here doing the Sextons or the
hey, I might need to do the break dancing. Yeah, I might be the
popping and locking and
might need to slide me into the dance crew.
800-355-NFL1 355-6351. Let's go to Alan in Mandarin. Alan, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Good, Alan.
Well, we were very fortunate today, and we were unfortunate in the Minnesota game, so things kind of play out.
Tends to be that way over the course of the year, yep.
But I want to mention a couple things, and of course, Marco, you're a texter, and you know, I'm a dog. And we've been on both sidelines before.
That's for sure.
And by the way, whatever happens this year, would they be wise to get Jarvis Jones on the Jags?
Ooh, I'll tell you.
Doesn't he look like Troy Polamalu?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a linebacker.
Talking about number 23 for Buffalo. I mean, for Georgia.
Georgia.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know where he fits in an NFL scheme.
He's
going to
be a linebacker. He's going to be an outside
probably
linebacker,
outside
rusher.
Probably outside 3-4 kind of thing.
Yeah, he can
but
do a lot
boy,
of things.
Boy, he's off.
The only place he'll fit in is making tackles and sacks.
Oh, he makes a lot of
plays. Besides all that, you know, I've been on plenty of sidelines in my career. Marco, I know you have as well. This is really odd. Statement, but I'm watching games. I've been in so many games, hundreds of games, and every time that Indianapolis is playing, you can hear everything the quarterback is barking. Every blue, green, 42, red, 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 and it's only Indianapolis. What's going on? Because I'm sitting here watching Peyton Manning in this game. You can't hear what he's screaming. I mean, are they piping in Indianapolis? The calls to the stadium.
There are two possibilities here. One is that because Peyton was there, Indianapolis, the fans have learned to be quiet as church mice during when the offense is out there on the field going through the plays. They've learned that.
Yeah, Indianapolis has football etiquette. Believe that.
The other thing is, some of this has to do with who's mic'd where, and a little inside the business kind of secret here is that one of the officials usually has a mic on him, and so you can pull an effects feed from that. And so when the TV audio guy does that, it may be easier to pick that up because of the quiet in the stands.
It just seems that in Indianapolis you can hear everything the quarterback says, and it can't be the fans just being quiet. I mean, they're quiet in a lot of stadiums, especially if your Coughlin tells you to hush up when your offense is on the field.
Yeah, because
you know what I mean?
Because New Yorkers are great at following directions. You're right.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, y'all have a fine show.
You too.
Thank you very much. 800-355-NFL1. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion. Less price. Back with more, a few more calls, and we'll wrap things up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio. Back on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Just a few more minutes, we'll take some more calls here before we call it an evening. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Derek's on the south side. Derek, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
How you guys doing?
What's up, D?
Just want to talk about the state of the team right now. And I kind of got a mixed bag. I really like our quarterback. I think he shows a lot of potential. He can make all the throws. Mm-hmm. I like to see him make them on time and also be accurate, which I think he'll get better.
I think that's a fair assessment, yeah.
Okay, I'm a little concerned about, actually, a lot of people have mentioned it, the draft policies we got going on. I'm not a big fan of trading up for players. I like trading up to get Gabbert. I really wasn't fond of giving up a pick to get Blackman. Unless it's a quarterback, maybe an offensive tackle, maybe a defensive end, I'm just not big on trading up draft picks. And from what I've seen, we just don't have many picks left, 5, 6, and 7 picks in drafts, which really seems to be maybe not allowing us to have any depth on our team. I want to get you guys thoughts on that.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of depth right now because they have so many injuries. I mean, legitimately, you could start an entire offensive line with injured offensive linemen. You know, you could start – if you were rolled out – I mentioned this before the ball game. If you rolled out there with Cam Bradfield, with Eben Britton, with Will Rackley, Jason Spitz, and John Estes, you'd go, okay, there you got an offensive line. How good is it? Oh, that'd be okay.
Good, all right, yeah.
You know, you could get by with it probably. And those guys are all injured. So do they have, like, mega deep depth. At some positions, they've got pretty good depth. At others, not really, you know. But again, those positions have been hurt by the injuries. Linebacker is another example. You get Daryl Smith is out. Clint Session may never play again. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but I think the rookie looked pretty good, you know, especially transferring from being the position in an outside linebacker at Stanford. Yeah, I think he looked pretty good today.
Well, I counted, guys, but how many linebackers has Gene Smith even drafted since he's been there? You know?
Well, see, brought in Posluszny as a free agent.
Yeah.
Russell Allen was an undrafted rookie, and obviously that was a good find because he's gone. You know,
you're saying as far as drafting.
Brandon Marshall was a draft pick this past year. Just thinking through it. No, he's on the team. Sorry? He's playing on every single special team that they have.
Yeah. I can't think of anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, again, there have been a number of areas of need for this team. And if you look at what Gene Smith has done, you know, year by year, philosophically, again, I realize people look at the record and are going to try to pin it all on somebody, and those who didn't want to pin it all on Del Rio last year or on the coaching staff is going to want to pin it on Gene Smith. I understand that's the way fans are. I'm not going to try to change that, behavior because I know it's a futile situation. But the first year, first 2 years, he drafted a lot of big guys. Offensive line and defensive line drafted early, right? Because he wanted to get the big guys when you can, start building that foundation. Year three, he drafts a quarterback in the first round. Year four, he drafts a wide receiver in the first round. And a wide receiver, by the way, that about 99% of the Jaguars fan base was ecstatic for them to get, right? Everybody says, the wide receivers were terrible last year. And then they draft.
I like Blackton. Blackton. However, I don't like giving up a third-round pick to get him. My motto is, unless it's a quarterback, offensive tackle, maybe a defensive end, you sit and wait. So what? If you don't get Blackton, then you get the cornerback from LSU.
I don't totally disagree with that theory, by the way. I think you identified the positions: quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, corner, right? The toughest positions to get. Wide receiver is maybe not as tough a position to get, but to get an elite wide receiver, it is tough to get them. You almost have to draft them because teams don't let elite wide receivers, get on the street. So we could have the debate about whether that was a good one or not. I mean, again, we've got three games in, and he's not doing what he showed he is capable of in the preseason. That's the real question. Why is it happening? That's what we need a little more time to determine.
Last point, guys. So the point I'm making is I'm not the player. I'm okay with the player, but the thought process behind getting the player, I'm just not a fan of it at all. I mean, the Patriots got Hernandez and Gronkowski in the same draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see us having great players, multiple good players at the same position. And I think you really need that to be a top team. So I'm concerned about that. I don't really see any positions like tight ends. I mean, we've had Mercedes Lewis 6 years. There should be another guy right behind him, pushing him.
They had, again, Zach Miller, but he can't stay healthy.
Right. I'm wrong. I don't think he's that guy, but I hope I'm wrong.
All right. Thanks for the call, Derek. Appreciate it. 800-355-NFL1. I mean, Derek brings up some good points there. Again, we're three games into this season with a new coaching staff. I don't think you can start making these declarative, it's over, I can make the assessment right now. I think it's too early for that stuff. Again, if you were in the anti-Gene Smith camp before this, in last December, you may still be in that camp. If you're in the pro-Gene Smith camp, you're probably still in that camp. I happen to be in the pro-Gene Smith camp. I think he's the right guy for the job. I think he's done a good job of building the foundation of this team. Now what has to happen this year, and this year is a very important year, is he's got to get particularly Gabbert, but also Blackman, and some of these other guys have to start, showing up more. Eugene Monroe has done a great job of that. Eugene Monroe has took a big step last year, take another step this year. He's a better player. And I think if you look at it through the first three games, again, it's a small sample size, but he's playing at a
But he came in a little bit more highly, he was, more decorated than other guys that were picked higher. I mean, Gabbert, he was okay at a quarterback, but he was in the same conference with some of the better quarterbacks that are, that were drafted, but they were older also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Alualu. I mean, he was, good. He was a good defensive lineman coming out of college, but he wasn't one of the great ones. I think Monroe was the Allen Trophy winner or one of the nominees.
But again, you can say that, and it's true, but they picked it. That's the guys they picked. So I'm just measuring what they've done based on what they've picked. And certainly Eugene Monroe is playing now at a first round pick kind of level, right? He is playing. If you saw him playing, you go, oh, that guy looks like he should have been a free. He's a left tackle playing that well. Yeah, you'd have to take that. If by the end of the year that you feel that Gabbert's on the way to playing like a first round pick mm-hmm. should be playing, and maybe your expectation of what a first round pick should play at the age of 23 is different than mine. I don't know.
You get picked in the first round. Yeah. It's just you get picked in the first round. I mean, you can't. I think in professional, you can't look at that. I mean, he probably took that into consideration, but how much time are you going to give? You're going to give him 3 years just like anybody else. And most first round picks, you give him about three seasons. This is the second or the third.
Yeah, I don't think that's
because you got guys that have come out. They come out as juniors, so yep. they come out early, and you know, so
which Gabbert did.
Yep. You know, so you got guys that are young. I can look at Champ Bailey. He came out very, very young. You
not playing quarterback though.
Not playing quarterback, but he probably just as tough of a position because he's out there on the island.
And by the way, Champ Bailey's a Hall of Famer, right?
But what I'm saying, the expectation from a young player, yep. he was thrown out there very young, very early, and he performed. I mean, but you know, it took a couple years. Well, he went right in there and was balling, but. You know, but it's just
it hurts you to say that about a Georgia guy, doesn't it?
It really does. But I like Champ though. But I think, but next season, I think you give him this season, another season, especially with a new coach. Next year, we need to see a drastic improvement. But I don't think the excuse of age could be used.
I think you need
point.
To see an improvement over the course of this season as he becomes more.
I agree.
And again, it's not going to be a finished product on you know that last game on what was the last game, December 30th in Nashville. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that's where he is. But you need to see an improvement. I believe we've seen an improvement from last year so far. It's not been a huge step forward, but it's been a step forward. I want to see more of that this year. I want it to be obvious to anybody who's paying attention as the season ends up that Blaine Gabbert's taking a big step from where he was last year. That's my expectations for Gabbert mm-hmm. this year.
I agree. I have to say I'm with you. I think next season will be the telltale. He's got to be a he's a seasoned quarterback at that point, regardless of how old he is. He's been in the NFL for three seasons. He would have been for three seasons next year.
After next season. Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's get one more call in here, and we'll go to Tom in St. Augustine, who will wrap things up for us here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Cole. I just, with all the new officials and everything, I'm not sure if maybe there's some new rules, because when we started this season, Maurice was a part-time player. He was a backup, and we seemed to throw the ball a lot on first down and everything, and we ran some misdirection, inside handoffs and things like that. Blaine looked great the first half. But then when Maurice became the starter, does that mean that we're not allowed to throw on first down?
Now, I think what happened is that it wasn't about Maurice. It was about the offensive line.
Well, you know what? And that's a big problem I've got with King. At the end of last year, we watched Kyle Wimper play last year. We watched him. We knew he couldn't play. And there was a lineman from Texas that went to Kansas City or something that we didn't really go after. And he's a quality offensive lineman. We saw what Guy could do. He's a good guy. He plays hard. But you know what? He's not very good. I mean, J.J. Watt abused him.
Yeah, and he struggled again. He struggled especially early in the game today.
Well, then,
but again, Guy Wimper was not the number one guy on the board for right tackle.
I'm not saying number one. He wouldn't have been number 10. I wouldn't have had him on the football team.
Okay, but again.
Go get Marco to play right tackle.
you don't want that.
I'm serious.
Speaking of dancing. Think about this, though. Just put this in perspective with that right tackle position.
I understand the injury, but
listen, let me put this in perspective. Right tackle, their expectations were Evan Britton would be the guy to start at right tackle as long as his back responded, which it was doing in the offseason. Number two would be Cam Bradfield. Number three would be Daniel Baldridge. And then four would be Wimper would be given the chance to win that position.
Coach, you do not sign a man to an extension on a contract to be the number four right tackle in the NFL.
I'm telling you where it was going into the
game. The other thing I've got with Gene is, and I guess this is being an SEC snob, there were 23 SEC players on the active roster in the Super Bowl last year. We have as many players from Wagner as we do from the SEC. If you don't count Missouri as
you said Wagner? Oh, you're talking about the kid, the rookie.
So we got one player. We got one player.
What about the changes in the SEC? I think Blaine is considered SEC now because he was in Missouri.
He wasn't when he was drafted. He did not play in the SEC. To be clear, okay.
Missouri's in the SEC though.
Yeah, well, I understand, but if
It's a pretty good football conference. You know, in 15 years or 16 years that we've had this football team, we drafted one player from the University of Alabama. Somebody needs to give Gene a roadmap.
Well, okay, listen.
There is a school up there. They're pretty good.
You know, there are plenty of good players from Alabama. But I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you that there are good players somewhere else because obviously you are an SEC
star. I agree there's good players elsewhere.
So,
but every other NFL team has four or five players in this.
Well, the Jaguars drafted some guys from the SEC that I recall named Reggie Nelson and Derek Harvey and Matt Jones, and that didn't work out. So there's no guarantee that you draft a guy from the SEC and he's going to live up to where you draft him in.
No guarantee they're going to work out from Prairie View A&M either.
No, you're making my point exactly. Yeah. There are no guarantees when drafting in the NFL. Yeah. It just doesn't
happen. How long do you think Gene should get to get this thing turned around? Well, what I feel bad for is I like malarkey, and normally when you change GMs,
you change coaches.
I think that he needs to be given through this year. I mean, we're three games in, and people are hanging the man in effigy.
I really think 2014 will be the season that'll make a break for malarkey and for Gene, I would think.
I mean, 2014?
Yeah, 2004, the end of the 2004, this season. You get three seasons. I think, legitimately, you got to give him three.
That means he will have 7 years as GM. Wow.
Not many
jobs in the professional workplace will you get 7 years to make a good impact. You won't.
All right.
And I don't think anybody.
You got a new owner, so the clock started over again.
All right. you're right. Absolutely. And quite frankly, one of the things that when Gene was elevated to that position, it would have made a lot of sense to change coaches then, mm-hmm. right? And Tom's right that you have guys, a lot of time the new GM, he's given the chance to hire the new coach, right? So in essence, what we've done is sort of reset the clock here in a lot of regards.
But I will also say this.
I don't believe that Shad Khan is an owner who is going to sit back and watch things happen if he thinks it's going in the wrong direction. I think he's a guy who is not comfortable with mediocrity.
And I don't think you can determine that until at least two more seasons.
So, well, and again, the direction of this year, I think, has a lot to do with that as well. And we're three games in.
Right.
I mean, we're three games in. We'll see how it goes. Again, last year, in some point in September, October, people say, no, you got to fire the coach. And I said, I don't think it does any good to fire the coach right then. I think it's a little different situation. But my point being that, as Houston scores again.
They're done.
My point being that with the general manager, you watch and see how things go when things are in place as he wants them. And I think right now things are in place as he wants them in terms of the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big hand in hiring Mike Malarkey. He's drafted these players. The guys he's drafted, again, just talking about the first-round pick, Eugene Monroe is playing at an elite level right now. You can't have any complaints about that.
Not at all.
If you want to decide that guys who are injured are Gene's fault, you can deal with that yourself. I don't think you can blame the GM for guys getting injured who didn't have injury histories before that.
Right, right.
If you draft a guy who was injured, who has an injury history, and he gets injured again, that's your bad. But these guys who didn't have history of injuries, guys like Britton or guys like...
Maybe like I said, Derek Cox.
Yeah, Derek Cox. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Perfect
Rashad
example.
Jennings,
yeah, who, again, has been hurt twice now in the NFL after, not being hurt at all. And then guys like Alualu, who, again, played pretty well last week, despite the fact the Jaguars didn't win. We'll have to look at the film and see how he played this week, but I saw making some more plays in there this week. And
Knighton,
Gabbert. I mean, again, the most of the core guys have been brought in here either via draft or via free agency by Gene Smith. There are a few guys who have been here for a while, Maurice and Rasheen and Brad Meester and some of these guys, Daryl Smith, who's obviously not playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, by and large, Gene's team now, right?
Yeah.
So, we'll see how it plays out. But I'm just telling you my opinion, and I will maintain my opportunity to change my mind. But my opinion is they got the right guy in that position. And you'll see that over the course of the year, I believe.
Indeed.
We'll see. All right. That'll do it for us here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jaguars with a 22-17 win. Hope you can enjoy this one for a little while. Some of the callers tonight, Not really enjoying the victory. Wasn't pretty enough. I don't know. Big picture, we'll see how things play out. This week, Mike Mularkey Show tomorrow night at 6. Tuesday, Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. John Osher joins me. And then Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna is live at Latitude 30 on Wednesday from 6 until 8 with Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and John Osher. Jaguars get the victory on the road. The first for Shad Khan. The first for Mike Mularkey as the brain trust of the Jaguars. And the first for the Jaguars in 2012. They beat the Colts 22-17 in thrilling fashion. Next week, Fred Taylor gets enshrined in the Jaguars Ring of Honor, the pride of the Jaguars. Hope to see you at Everbank Field. For Linda Fortunato, for Ed Rocco, for Marco Coleman, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night from Jaguar Central.